two, read verses 8 to 10 again, then we're going to wander off somewhere else. Actually, probably several places if I get a chance. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, I want to continue on a bit from last week, but in a slightly different vein. Because last week I spent most of the time talking about faith, the noun, and believing, the verb. And I'm not going to actually leave that, but I do want to look at something else. I stated that faith and believing are sequential. Believing follows faith, not the other way around. They are not the same thing, but they are totally and completely related to one another. You have to have one to have the other. You have to have faith in order to believe. And all men have not faith, no matter what they tell you in a bunch of Armenian churches, because I've heard it. All men have not faith. The noun. They may believe stuff. They believe lots of things. But that's not believing that comes from this faith that God gives. Walter and I talked a little bit, and I did not mention it last week. I meant to, but I was scared. The Greek word translated in verb form is, I wrote it down, pistuo. All right? That word is actually derived from, that's believing, is derived from the noun pistis. Okay? And I didn't want to have any mistakes as far as how I pronounce that, because I didn't want to cause any comedy. Unless I intentionally mean to cause comedy. But that's the word. So the verb actually comes from the noun, even in the Greek language. I don't know how significant that is, but it's nice. Because that's the way it actually works. Believing comes from faith. Faith doesn't come from believing. Okay. Here, I just wrote what I just said. You cannot ever believe without already having the faith of God's elect. And if you have the faith of God's elect, you will believe. You shall believe. And you don't have to take my word for it. God said it. It's in this book. Because it has been promised, and he will perform it. Do you mean that God will see to it, will make us to believe him? That's exactly what I mean. I mean exactly that. All of the children of God who were chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world will come to believe him. And they always have. And they always will, even into the future, into the kingdom, Walter. There is no salvation without a knowledge of Christ. That's it. That's what this book teaches. It will happen. Why? Because he gives them faith. He gives them all the faith of Jesus Christ. And I just want to emphasize this from a different angle. This faith, which is perfect, which is not of yourselves, which is the gift of God, I want to emphasize today, it is a gift of God. Now, what do the scriptures have to say about the God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit and gifts? Well, first place I want to look is Romans 6:23. I'm just going to kind of bounce around a little bit. It's the last verse in Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is a gift, but only through Jesus Christ our Lord. I could do without the wages of sin. I really don't need that. I was looking, and I've got a few quotes in here from that Woos Expanded New Testament, Walter. And from what I've been reading, it's pretty good. He calls this the subsistence pay of sin. It's death. That ain't much of a subsistence. But that's what it is. That's what I've earned. That's what Christ paid. I don't want what I earned if I am to survive or subsist. I need the gift of God through Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. What is there outside of eternal life? It's not good. It's called death. Dead. In trespasses and in sins, but dead. Because if you don't have life, what you are is lifeless. Just like if you don't have faith, you are faithless. And lifeless is what we call dead. Outside of the life of Christ, there is only darkness and death. That's because of the fact that all light and all life are in Him. Death and life, I don't control either. Neither does any man. I was dead and I had nothing to say about that. And I believe I have been delivered from the power of darkness, which I used to prefer rather than the light. And been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. I was sometimes darkness. That's even worse than being in darkness. I was sometimes darkness. And so were you. But now, light in the Lord. I want to walk that way as a child of the light. The life that is given to the people of God is called eternal because it is eternal. Believers, true believers, shall never die. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Oh, I about forgot. Saw a sign yesterday. Coming home from Bob Evans. Sorry, I didn't go to Cracker Barrel. The heart has eyes that the brain knows nothing of. That's creepy. That is just plain creepy. And I thought, great, so I don't have to think about religion. I can just look with my heart. That's the religion of this world today. They don't want theology. They don't want doctrine. Well, that's because they don't want truth. the truth. Anyhow, I wanted to share that with you because I thought it was really bad. John chapter 4 and verse 10 is another gift spoken of. Now this is Jesus speaking to what the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus answered, John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Christ Jesus said this. Now, Walter, when I read this, I am reminded sometimes of what people call soul winning. Christ starts off, says, if you knew who you were talking to. If you knew who you were talking to and who I am, you'd ask of me. The world doesn't know who he is. The world doesn't know who speaks from this book, who these apostles were writing of. They know a Jesus, but it's not the Christ of the Bible. They know a Jesus every now and then. I had my little thing reading out loud some of this, some of the Bible in this Woosh New Translation or Expanded Translation while Debbie was listening a little bit, and it came to it and it says, and Jesus said. And I thought, okay, well, they didn't develop that program. They borrowed it from somebody else. But that, it might as well be somebody, some Mexican guy named Jesus, as opposed to who they teach. They're not teaching the Christ of the Bible. They don't know. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is talking to you, you would ask. That is a fact. Because Christ said it. It's true. Doesn't everybody know who Jesus is? No. That's the only answer I got to that question. No. It's the only answer I got. The natural man, the natural woman does not know the gift of God. And you can take that logically from this statement. It goes like this. And I wrote this down in order here, and I hope it's right. One, if you knew, you'd ask. Two, if you asked, he'd give. Three, if he gave, you would have living water. And four, if you had living water, you'd never die. But, that's number five. People die in their sins because they don't have the living water. And they don't have the living water because he didn't give. He didn't give because they didn't ask. They didn't ask because they didn't know. They did not know because they're dead. And they're dead because he didn't give them life. And he didn't give them life because they were not chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. Now this lady did ask and did receive. But in a nutshell, if you stay dead, it's your own fault. Because you cannot and you will not come to the light. Because you love darkness more than light. And if you live, it is because of the gift of God. Man doesn't know, man cannot know, man will not know, and man does not want to know. But Jesus Christ gives life. He gives the living water. He gives the desire for it. Come unto me, all ye who labor and heavy laden. Okay, if you're not laboring, if you're not heavy laden, you're not going to come. You weren't invited. He's not talking to you. Some things will happen because of the gift of God. Because of faith. You will believe. You will call upon the name of the Lord. Because you will know who the Lord is. That's what the world doesn't know. And if they knew, they would ask. This is going slower than I thought. Acts 2:38 and 39. Acts 2:39 is one of my favorite scriptures. And that's the one they leave off all the billboards. There's churches in town, they always put up there, obey Acts 2:38. And I want to put up another thing, don't read Acts 2:39. Because it'll mess up your thoughts about Acts 2:38 in Armenian churches. It will. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, this is Acts 2:39 now, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. They don't quote that part. Repent and be baptized. That's good stuff. Now, Walter spoke about it last week, week before last. Repentance has to be granted. Peradventure that God would grant them repentance. Repentance is a gift. The Holy Ghost is a gift. But that promise is to everyone that the Lord our God shall call. It will happen. It will happen. If you receive the gift of God, if He gives it to you, and if He gives it to you, you'll receive it. You'll have it. You won't be able to get rid of it. You fight against it, but you lose. The promise of the Holy Ghost dwelling in someone is to everyone whom the Lord our God shall call. It is also to as many as shall answer. But that wasn't the point. Because when He calls, you will answer. There is an answer. There is a calling upon God. But it's because of faith. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that's a good work. Repentance must be granted. The Holy Ghost is a gift. And all of this is a promise from God to as many as He shall call. And He shall call as many as were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's going to happen. He's promised it. I'm looking at the clock. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I'm just going to stop there. Faith, the noun, is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a good gift. Faith is a perfect gift. And faith comes down, airless like every good and perfect gift, down from the Father of lights. I always wonder about that. What kind of lights? The Father of lights, what kind of light? All of them. All of them. He is light, and in him is no darkness. And outside of him, there is no light. Any and every light there is comes from him, because there is no light outside of Christ Jesus and the Father. And there is no variableness with him. And I looked that up, it says fickleness. God is not fickle, no matter how some people preach him. Because I've heard people preach some pretty fickle God stuff. Now, he'll give you salvation, then he'll take it away. Because you didn't do what he wanted. I never did what he wanted to start with. I never could. I know all about fickleness. I'm pretty good at it myself. You know, Walter, I try not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, and sometimes I'm more successful than others, but I can go back and forth and up and down about just about anything else. But not God. There is no variableness. Not Christ, not the Holy Spirit. Christ is completely unfickle. That is now a word, according to my dictionary in my computer, because I added it. He is unfickle. You should have seen some of the things it tried to correct it to when I clicked it and got the little list. I didn't know there were so many words with fickle. They didn't have unfickle, but now they do, because that's what God is. God is unfickle. He is unvariable. He is so unfickle, you can't even see a shadow of him turning. There's no hint of a turn in God. Because God is perfect. We don't get that. I understand. We can't comprehend perfection. I have physically never seen perfection. But I know he is perfection. He never has changed. Not even a shadow of a turn of a change. And how do I know he's never changed? Because he told me he never did. I'll just read this. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore..." Because of his never changing, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Now, I know that's Old Testament. I know it's written to Jews, but he's talking about if he's chosen you, he is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? You can... It may not, the answer is not nobody. The answer is it doesn't matter. If God's for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. That's the logic. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, if God has given you a gift, a perfect gift, if God does love you as a member of his family, the household of God, the family of God, any change in that would not be good. So he doesn't change. He's perfect. We're the imperfect part of this equation. We're the problem. God's not the problem. Even though there are people who have told me, well, I've got a problem with a God like that. That's okay. Don't worry about it. He's not changing for you or anybody else. He's never changed. We change all the time because we are not perfect and don't know anything about it. Believers are not even perfect, but they have been given the perfect gift of faith by grace. We are changing all the time. Walter, I like to kid myself that sometimes it's for the better. I like to think that I have grown in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I know my body is not getting better. I just went to one doctor last week, and I'm going to another doctor tomorrow. And she's going to fuss at me. I know she is. And I know that if I cut down a walnut tree and I have to dispose of the branches, my knee hurts. I'm getting older. It's getting worse. That's not a change for the better. But sometimes my brain has eyes my heart don't know about. I don't know if that makes sense or not. I can use the knowledge that I have accumulated that I haven't forgot. I have forgot some of it. But still there's more knowledge in my head than there was when I was 23 years old, and I thank God for it. There's more experience that I've been through that I don't want to go through again if I can possibly avoid it. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. And sometimes I have to watch other people go through the same things that I went through. And I feel bad for them. I change all the time. God has never changed. There's not even a shadow, a hint, an idea of Him turning, changing. Because He is perfect. The Father of lights, who is perfection, for Him to change would mean there had to have been some imperfection. My Lord God is impeccable. Jesus Christ is impeccable. Perfect. And Holy Spirit is impeccable. There is no chance of a change. His gifts are perfection because He is perfection. Christ does not give life and then change His mind, no matter what anyone says. But see, these people preach that you can get yourself saved so you can get yourself lost. And if that was salvation, it'd probably be true, but that's not the salvation of my Lord Jesus Christ. When He saves, when He does anything, it's forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God doeth it. That men should fear Him. They don't, but they should. God does kill and make alive. Therefore, because of that, those that are killed stay killed. And those He makes alive are alive forevermore. Those that are alive shall never die. That's His gift to His people. But He asked Mary, "Believest thou this? If you do, it's because the Father of lights gave you faith, His gift." And it's time to quit. And I'll save that one for next week because there's some other stuff I can do with that. I was going to read Romans 11:29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I know the context of it, and the context is true. God has not forgotten to do. But I'm going to tell you, what he said there is true about all of his gifts. They are without repentance. There's no change. If God has given you something, you've got it. You're going to have it for the rest of eternity. You'll have it for the rest of your natural life, yes, but then beyond. There's more coming because of this life. It's called eternal because it doesn't end. It will never end. He's given us faith. We will always have this faith. He's given us life. We will always have this life. We're going to have it better. We're going to know more about it. And this mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. All of that's true. And all of it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There is no doubt that's going to happen for the people of God, because he is going to see to it. It's his work, it's his salvation, and he'll do his job. He'll take care of it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. But most of all, thankful for you gave your Son as a ransom for many, and is saving that many right now. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.